There is no set timeline that someone can give an artist to say, okay, this is how long it's going to take you to be successful, whatever that successful definition is. It's a slow burn. Mm-hmm. And some artists think, well, it happened for them overnight. It probably didn't.
Welcome to The Optimistic Artist. I'm Monique Story, artist, whiskey enthusiast, and massive cheerleader of artists. I'm hugely passionate about helping artists discover their next step by bringing the clarity, the strategy, and the inspiration you need to turn that art hobby of yours into a thriving art business. Whatever creative dream you've got hidden in your heart, I'm here to tell you it is possible. So get ready, my friend. This is The Optimistic Artist. My favorite kind of person to have on the show are those people that are genuinely have a heart for artists and that want to support artists. And I think that describes today's guest so well. Laura, I am so excited to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being here. For those people listening, Laura is an artist mentor, an art consultant, arts writer, educator, and a specialist art archivist. She also runs her own art consultancy and works with Articulate PR in Sydney and a guesswork agency, which is based in Melbourne. And Laura is just an incredible, she's just one of those people that as soon as you meet her and you see her interact with artists, her heart for seeing artists succeed is so clear and so obvious. And you have so much experience in the art world. So I'm really excited to pick your brain and hear all about that.
Wow. Thank you. That was a lovely introduction. It's a pleasure to be interviewed by you.
So you've got almost 20 years of experience, and I'm so excited to pick your brain about ways that artists can be seen and ways that artists can find their own path towards success. But why don't we start by you telling us a little bit of your backstory? So how did you get into the world of art, and where are some of the places that it's taken you over the last decade and a half?
Yeah, so I've had an interesting path, I think, to where I am now. I started my career in the arts, and all of my roles have been based around my passion for art and for design. I started as a high school teacher of design and technology and visual arts, and I did that for the first 4 years or so of my career, knowing that my passion was for education, but not necessarily in a school setting. So I transferred from being a teacher at a school and started working for Object Gallery, which is now called the Australian Design Centre. I worked for them writing educational programs and working in communications. So I transferred my love of education, but in a school setting, to how education works in a gallery, museum sort of setting. And then I started work for a well-known gallerist who at the time had a not-for-profit foundation. And I worked for her for a number of years, around 13 years or so. And I started off being the programs coordinator, writing educational programs for her. And then left for a while to have a baby and focus on being a mum, and loved that. I came back after maternity leave, and my boss was someone who could see trends in the art world and could anticipate what was upcoming, what was needed, and was always at the forefront of what was happening in the arts. And when I came back after having my daughter, she and I had a discussion about archives and the trend that seemed to be coming up in the art world, which surrounded collections and archives and what they meant in terms of the value of art. So getting into the world of art archiving it's not straightforward. It's not hugely well known. And I was fortunate enough that I was mentored by Stephen Miller, who is the head librarian and head of the National Art Archives, which is at the Art Gallery of New South Wales. And yeah, I re-qualified, I guess you would say, as a specialist art archivist and researcher. And so worked on multiple art collections and archive projects, some of which are held at the Art Gallery of New South Wales. So while I was still working for this wonderful pioneer in the art world, I at the same time had my own ideas and passions that I wanted to follow. And in 2019, just before COVID, actually, I started my own art consultancy. And the reason I did that is because I really have had and still have a passion for working with artists one-on-one and for helping artists in any way that I can, especially emerging artists. So I started my own art consultancy in 2019-2020, and that naturally progressed into artist mentoring. So a lot of art consultants broker art, so they help people buy and sell art. But my art consultancy has also taken on a real focus on working with artists as an artist mentor. So artists will approach me to ask for guidance or support in their artistic practice, and like, where can they go from here? What avenues are open to them? And just ideas. And I guess what I do is I draw on my experience and my qualifications and try and help them in any way that I can, which I love doing.
And I've seen you do such an amazing job of this. I see the way that you're a springboard and helping artists find their own path. I love the way that it's not just do step one, two, three. I love the way that you really look at who an artist is as an individual and help them navigate their own path forward. I think that's really beautiful. So I'm really excited to ask you some questions, because you've worked with so many different artists and you have so much experience with the art world. I think some of the questions that might be on the mind of some of our artists is, I'd love to know, like, what's your definition of a successful artist?
Wow. Okay. That is a
big one. That's on people's hearts, right? Everyone's like, I want to be a successful artist. Well, what does that actually mean to you? Like, if an artist comes to you, they're looking for mentorship, guidance to be a quote unquote successful artist. How do you have a conversation with them around what that actually means?
Yeah, that's generally where it starts. What I like to do is not tell anyone what I think a successful artist is. I ask the artist, what's your definition of success? You know, what are your goals? What are you hoping to get out of your practice? And then we build from there. So some artists, their definition of success might be, I want to be represented by a gallery and I want to have 2 solo shows a year and I want to make X amount of money. Another artist, their definition of success might be, I want to pay the bills, feed my family and make good art. Everyone has their own definition of success. And when I work with an artist, I work based on what their goals are, not what my goal is for them.
I love that, because I think a lot of artists end up in this state of overwhelm, or they end up in this place where they're just looking at what other artists are doing and then like, oh, that person's doing prints, I'll do prints. Oh, this person's doing art fairs, I'll do art fairs. Instead of actually pausing, taking a moment to decide, well, what do I actually want for my art career? What do I want for my life? What do I want for my practice? And I think it's really important for people to stop and define what success actually looks like for them. So I love that that's where the conversation starts. Working with all those artists, what do you think are some of the most important qualities that you deem necessary for an artist to be successful, whatever their version of success means?
Firstly, you have to have a passion and a love for what you do. You need to be invested in making and creating whatever it is that you're coming up with. Added to having a passion, you have to have drive. So it's all very well to be passionate about making art, but an artist, in order to be a functioning self-fulfilling and financially sustainable artist, they have to have a drive and hold themselves accountable for making work, for producing, for creating, and for aiming to get better. I also think that it's important for artists to find their people. And what I mean by finding their people is finding the right galleries for them, or finding the right art consultants to work with, or finding the right mentors or creatives to work with that align with them and their approach to art. So finding your people is really important.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I mean, it's anything really. You're way more likely to be successful if you're operating in a community, right? People who are pulling you forward, people who you are pulling forward, people who are on the same level as you, that community, yeah. Finding your people. I love that.
I think it's important to note that I've been working in the arts for 20 years. And in terms of finding your people or finding my people, I've found a lot of people that aren't my people over the time that I've been in the arts. And it doesn't just happen. You have to explore relationships, explore options and opportunities, and they're all possibilities. But you have to, I think, be true to yourself and what you want to get out of the arts. And if you find that in someone else or some other organization, then aligning with them makes sense. So I think it's with any profession, but especially in the creative world, finding people that you vibe with, that's always going to help you moving forward.
I think what you're saying is really important. One side of the coin is finding your people who are for you and who support you. And then the other side of the coin is just coming to terms with the fact that not everyone is your people. There are going to be people who don't get you, who judge you, or they're just not for you. And that is okay. I know for me, when I did my solo show, I felt really nervous about the visuals of the show. There was a lot of photography involved. There was a lot of me in there, much more than I had planned, but I gave creative license to Samuel, who I completely trust. He's just an incredible photographer and videographer, and I gave him full creative license for making the imagery of the show. And it ended up being a lot of me in the shots. And I felt really nervous around that because I was scared that there was going to be a lot of artists who would judge me for that and be like, just show us the art. But I was like, you know what? I can't go there. I can't let what someone else may or may not think actually influence what's happening for me right now, because what I really love is I love storytelling. And Samuel did an amazing job of storytelling and creating narrative. And I loved it. I really, really loved the videography and the storytelling and the narrative. So it's tricky, but I think it's really important to be authentic and stay true to who you are and just realize there are going to be people that just don't like it. And that's okay. You're never going to please everyone. You're never going to be for everyone. So you just need to be authentic and true to who you are, and you will find your people. There are people out there for you, both to support you and to buy your work.
If you can remain authentic and true to who you are, then I think you're onto a winner. No one can be everything to everyone. If you're trying to please everyone, you may end up not pleasing anyone or not pleasing yourself. And being satisfied at the end of the day that you're working with people you want to work with and producing work that you're proud of, that is part of my definition of what makes a good artist.
You have to do it in a way that feels good and right to you and brings you joy, because you're in this for the long haul.
I always ask an artist, if they come to me and say, should I take up this opportunity? I ask, does that excite you?
Yeah.
And if it excites them, go for it. Let's discuss it further. Let's see where it can take you. If it doesn't excite you, and you don't have to do it, I mean, financially, if it's not, you have to do it to pay your bills, maybe think about not doing it. Mm. You don't have to do everything. You don't have to take up every opportunity. It's about considering the opportunities and considering whether they work for you as an artist.
Have you seen any trends or anything that consistently sort of propels an artist forward?
I think a willingness to listen to feedback is really important. Artists often work so independently and almost as a silo that they, you know, you're in your studio and you're making work and you get bogged down in the making and in your own head. And if you can talk to someone, whether it's a mentor, whether it's a consultant, whether it's your gallery, whether whoever it is, another artist even, that's where having that artist community really helps. Being able to take on feedback and being open to that feedback, not always being positive. It doesn't have to be your, that person isn't someone who's going to give you honest feedback and supportive feedback is something that's going to be valuable to you in propelling yourself forward. Being willing to take chances, being willing to see what works for you and what possibilities are out there and giving it a go. If you don't give something a go, how will you know if it's going to work for you or not work for you? So not saying throw all of your money into having a solo show and have no money left over because, you know, you might not sell everything and then, you know, what happens? But being open to explore opportunities and to push yourself in a direction that you may not have thought before or you may not have realized was available to you before. So coming up with creative ways to be a creative. One other thing that's really key is to be in the art world. So as well as being an artist and being in your studio and making work, I know a lot of people are time poor, but getting out to exhibitions, getting out to galleries, going and seeing what other artists are doing, what other galleries are doing, what workshops and publications and podcasts are out there at your disposal, what's happening in the art world today and being inspired by what's going on around you is really important. So sometimes just taking a step back from the studio and your own practice and out of your own head and just going and experiencing art, wherever it is always helpful and can be really inspirational.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. I kind of want to add my two cents there. I think for me, being an artist, especially starting from scratch in a new country, really is just one series of uncomfortable step after the other. I feel like every 5 minutes I have to put my big girl pants on and just do something that's completely out of my comfort zone, whether it's to go to an opening on my own because I don't know anyone in the country, or whether it's calling that brand and asking them to be the drink sponsor for opening night, or whether it's putting your face on Instagram for the first time. The people who I see really step forward and take big strides are the people who just continually take those uncomfortable steps, expanding their capacity, getting out of their comfort zone. And like you said, just taking a risk and giving something a go. And I think another really big one is perseverance and not being afraid of failure, because if we're afraid of failure, we'll never step into those places and we'll never take those risks that we need. I really, really see failure as a prerequisite to success. It just drives me up the wall when people are afraid of failure. There's not a single person who's done anything great with their life that didn't first have to walk through 1,000 failures. And I think if you understand that failure is a prerequisite to success and you're not afraid of it, I think that goes a really, really long way in helping you to be consistent and persistent and just not give up.
I completely agree with that. And something I'd add is don't be impatient. A lot of artists think, okay, if this doesn't happen for me within 6 months, I'm giving up. that's it, I'm walking away. Or, you know, a year ago I was in this place and I'm not where I thought I would be. A year from now, I'm a failure. Okay, you know, time to go and get an office job and or go back to your previous career or whatever it is, or give up. Impatience can be at your detriment. And so just keeping that in mind, I think, is quite key. There's no set timeline.
So true.
There is no set timeline that someone can give an artist to say, okay, this is how long it's going to take you to be successful, whatever that successful definition is. It's a slow burn. And some artists think, well, it happened for them overnight, speaking about a different artist. It probably didn't. That artist that they think has just exploded probably did a heck of a lot of years and put in so much time into whatever it is that they were making beforehand, and had 1,000 conversations that went nowhere and 1,000 rejections. But when they got onto a path that worked for them, they suddenly, well, seemingly suddenly exploded. You don't know what's happening behind closed doors. You don't know what that artist has put in prior to being an explosive success.
So, so true. I really agree with you with the impatience thing. I get so many messages from people asking me how to fast track the success, or how to just sell out a collection. But they forget that their first year, I sold 3 things in 12 months. And 2 of those things were to my friends, who I'm pretty sure they were just feeling sorry for me. But it was literally a year of quote unquote failure before I actually sold out that first collection. Like you were saying before, you don't know the journey that someone's walked through to get to their so-called overnight success. And I think just having the tenacity and the perseverance to keep going is such a key factor.
Yeah, I like what you said about people coming to you and wanting to fast track their success. If you go to uni or to TAFE or do a qualification, there is no fast track to get that qualification. You've got to do the years and get the credits that qualify you to be qualified. It's kind of the same as an artist. You've got to put in the hard yards. There is no getting from A to B, but being fast-tracked to do that.
And I just want to say to any artists listening, I know when I first started, it felt really overwhelming looking at someone who was further along and thinking, oh, they've got their email marketing sorted and their website is amazing. They've got prints happening and they're represented by this gallery and that gallery. And like, just pause and think about how far along you are on your journey, and you can't do everything at once. Like, just do one thing. Just do one thing. And after you've done that thing, then do the next thing. And when you're completely happy with that thing, then move on to the next thing. As artists, we don't overnight have all facets of our art business and our art practice sorted instantly. Just do one thing at a time.
Yeah, I think the idea of running your own race or staying in your lane applies quite often. Having artists or other creatives that you look to as examples of how you'd like to be, or how you'd like your practice to look, is great. And maybe reaching out to them and having a chat to find out how they got to where they are, that's a possibility. A lot of artists are happy to talk about how they got to where they are. But if you see another artist doing limited edition prints and prints on canvas and merch and all of that sort of thing, that's great. And that might be working for them, but is that going to be working for you? And is that right for the type of art that you're creating?
Yeah. Okay. Can we chat a little bit about galleries? Does an artist have to be in a gallery in order to be successful? Well, let's change that phrase. Not necessarily successful, but does an artist have to work with a gallery in order to actually sell their work?
This is a question that's come to me and comes up a lot for me with artists. And I'm not a traditionalist or a purist when it comes to how I approach the art world. So in my opinion and my experience, no, a gallery doesn't have to be part of an artist's stable in order for them to be successful. Some artists are really suited to being with a gallery. And when I say with a gallery, I mean being represented by a gallery. And some artists and their work isn't as suited to be with a gallery. And further to that, every gallery is unique in its own way. So some galleries are great for some artists and not great for other artists.
It really comes back to what do you want from your art practice? What is your life like? What's best going to serve you right now? Because I remember when I first started, I thought I wanted to be in a gallery, but really I didn't. It just didn't suit my lifestyle. I had these tiny, tiny humans with no family support. I just did not have the capacity. My life did not allow for me to work with a gallery where I had deadlines and where I had to be in the gallery and, you know, be at the gallery at 10 o'clock at night helping with the hang. I just did not have that capacity. So there was a time where being in a gallery was a complete wrong move for me. And now that things are changing for me a bit, my tiny humans are a little bit older, we've got more community, getting much busier with the podcast, being in a gallery was the right move. So it's not about gallery or no gallery. It's about who are you? What are your goals? What is your life like? And is this the right next step for you? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the other thing when someone's talking about being with a gallery, there's a few ways to be with a gallery. You can be represented by a gallery, which is when the gallery is kind of really invested in you and you are one of their stable, you are in their stable of artists. Or you can have an agreement with a gallery. It's like an artist agreement with a gallery. So they may take a certain number of your artworks and have them for sale, but they don't represent you. So it doesn't mean that you are locked in with them in a particular way or have a specific contract that ties you to them and them alone. There are several ways that an artist can work with a gallery. And I'm not sure artists realize that a lot of the time. I think if any artist is with a gallery has an obligation to their artist. If they are one of the stable or one of their main artists, to mentor them, to support them, to guide them in their career, to be helping them move in the direction that that artist wants to work in. So it's got to be a mutually advantageous relationship. Does that relationship with the gallery work for the artist, and does it work for the gallery? And when it does work, it's amazing. Gallery experiences are amazing. Some gallerists are amazing. And obviously there are some who are not amazing to work with, as in any profession. So picking the right gallery, aligning with you and your practice, is so key.
Yeah, I know when before I did my show with Sydney Road Gallery, I actually got an invitation from another gallery and I walked into the space. It was just a no. I just knew that the way that they dealt with the art, their perspective of the art, their perspective of artists, I just knew that the way that they approached things did not align with who I was. And even though at the time I thought I really wanted to be in a gallery, that was one of my goals, I'm so glad I said no, because it would have been such a misfit. And you're so much better off to actually wait until you find the right connection, the right gallery, the right people, for sure.
Yeah, I've got artists say to me, you know, they'll give me a list of the galleries that they really want to be with. These are the ones that excite me, and these are the ones I want to represent me, and I want to exhibit with them. And I'll say, have you been there? Have you been to any of their exhibitions, or have you met any of the gallerists or sales associates. And they're like, no. And I said, you can't have worked out that they're right for you unless you've been there and got a feel for if they're right for you. You've got to actually go and experience it and see how they work and see how they operate and think, yes, I can see my art here. And yes, I can see my art being sold by these people. And it would make me want to do more and create more and propel me forward. So you actually have to go there. I think that having someone in the arts, like a consultant or a mentor or someone who's been there before, can be really useful in just helping you work out if that gallery in that situation and that agreement is the right fit for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've talked about galleries. What are some other things that artists can do if they know right now pursuing a gallery, they're not in the right season for that? What are some other things that artists can do to progress their career?
There are so many other avenues to making money from your art and getting your name and your brand out there, especially since COVID, and obviously, especially in the world that we have in terms of social media and the number of platforms available. So other than galleries, social media has just gone gangbusters in terms of how artists sell their work. So when I say social media, specifically talking about Instagram and less so Facebook and those sort of platforms, but having a good social media presence and being in control of your social media can be hugely successful for an artist. In addition to having social media and having a social media presence, other avenues that artists can consider and have definitely worked in terms of bringing them success are places like art fairs, entering art prizes, being stocked in retailers or commercial outlets. It doesn't have to be a gallery that's selling your artwork. A lot of smaller boutiques or labels or retailers are now stocking artists. So that's another avenue that artists can think about taking. Commissions is obviously, or maybe not obviously to some people, but commissions are a great way to make money doing them. Some don't. And if commissions don't excite you, don't do them. But they are a great way to keep your practice ticking over and making sure that there's money coming in. The idea of licensing or branding your artwork. So creating some sort of merchandise out of your artwork suits some artists. So there's a couple of artists that I've worked with whose work really lends itself to aligning with a brand or collaborating with a brand, whether it's another art brand or whether it's a fashion brand or whether it's a alcohol beverage brand. Creating collaborations and using that as a launch pad to get your art out there can be really exciting and valuable for the artist. As well as having a social media presence, I always try and encourage an artist to have a website as well, and even the dreaded newsletter, which some artists really don't like doing, but having a great website and a newsletter that they put out can provide value in terms of speaking to their audience and reaching their audience to let them know what they're doing and how they can find their art and where they can see it and how they can access it. The other one that's coming up a lot more these days, and there's more companies doing it, and I'm so excited about seeing it more in Sydney and Melbourne and around Australia, is the world of the public art commission and public art projects. So where big business is actually realizing the value that art and artists can bring to an event or a place, and collaborating with an artist to make something happen or to activate a space, is something that's happening a lot. And it's such an exciting area in the arts that is really taking off, and it has been for the last few years.
Yeah, I think brands are realizing that, yeah, artists are just really amazing people, and people are interested in artists and what they do and watching them work. And having an artist as part of your event is such an amazing way to just bring interest and engagement. I am really excited because I've got an exciting opportunity. I'm working with, I don't think it's been announced yet, but I'm working with a really, really amazing restaurant and a really beautiful spirits company. And we're actually putting on an event where people come and they have a beautiful three-course meal. They see the art. I'm the guest speaker. So that's going to be an amazing way to get exposure and to help me connect with my right clients, and just kind of a fun thing to work with.
Art activations are something that really excite me. The whole idea that working with an artist and bringing their art into a space and using visuals to activate and bring life to a space, an event, or whatever it is something I love working on. It just brings life to a space.
Yeah, me too. I absolutely love it. So you've worked with a lot of artists at lots of different stages of their careers. What do you think sets those apart who eventually experience success from those who end up walking away?
That's a tricky question. Perseverance is key, and you've mentioned it before, and the idea of not being impatient and waiting and finding the right people for you and working with the right people, but also refining your art to a level that you're proud of and that you can see connect with people, and that the feedback that you're getting is positive. By continually checking in with yourself and having goals and seeing if those goals are being met, and having conversations with other people about where you can take your practice, those are all things that are going to keep you being a business person as an artist. Like with any career, I think most professional jobs have, you know, their yearly review to check in if they're meeting their KPIs and they, where their performance needs tweaking or where they can improve on. It's the same in terms of your art and your practice. Are you meeting the KPIs that you've set out for yourself, and where might you be able to improve? Or are there other avenues that you can explore that you haven't explored yet? Or can you push an area further that you haven't pushed further?
Love that. Before we move on to Quickfire, why don't you tell us, like, what's next for you? Where can people get in touch with you?
What's next for me? I am lucky enough to be working with some fantastic people at the moment. I work with Articulate PR in Sydney, who is a fantastic art consulting firm and PR agency for the arts. I also work with Guestwork Agency in Melbourne, who are art consultants and art lawyers and advisors, especially in the areas of AI and in the NFT space. So I love working with both of those companies. I have an Instagram page, which is a little bit of an overview about everything that I'm doing, and is just my creative head on a social media page, which people can find me on, and my details and things are on there. And I just try and give snippets into what I'm doing with my time and trying to navigate the various roles that I hold. So whether it's working with Articulate, or whether it's with Guestwork Agency, or whether it's working on projects under my own consultancy, I love putting stuff on social media that's just celebrating what I'm doing and who I'm working with. Yeah, so in terms of what's next for me, I'm working on a couple of projects at the moment. I just launched a pretty exciting gin collaboration with a local distillery in Bondi, with an artist who I've worked with for a while and who I just adore. And people can go onto my Instagram page and find who that is. And I'm currently working on an article for Guest Work Agency about the value of archiving and collecting and where that sits in the world of the arts. I'm working with a number of artists on achieving their KPIs and propelling them forward into where they're going with their career. And I'm always visiting galleries and coming up with ideas and working out what's next.
So just a couple of things. Not too busy then.
It seems that I do a lot and then sometimes I'm not sure if I'm doing enough. But yeah, I always try and make sure I'm excited about what it is that I'm doing and excited about the people that I'm working with.
So cool. Okay. Are you ready for quick fire?
Ready.
Okay. What are you obsessed with at the moment?
Oh, collaborations. Love seeing a good collaboration, like artist and brand collaboration. I'm obsessed with finding awesome stuff on Instagram that takes me down a rabbit hole that I never thought I'd be taken down. Finding unexpected gems on Instagram or if I go to an art fair. Yeah, I'm just obsessed with finding little niches.
Cool.
And getting excited by them.
Okay, slightly, totally left field question. What song is your jam? Like, what is the song that just gets you going?
Oh, God.
In your face, you're like.
Right, the other day, and I thought of that because I was talking to a friend of mine in Melbourne, and I just was having a day, and she sent me a link to Push It by Salt and Pepper.
Yeah.
She said, got in the car. And I put it on and I was having a good old time and it's a shocker of a song. And then my daughter got in the car after school and she's like, Mum, what is this song? So I don't usually listen to Salt and Pepper, but that day that song was very much needed. I like anything that's got a good beat. I definitely don't have the best taste in music. I can be swayed by Britney Spears, but then I can also be swayed by, U2 in excess. I don't know. I'm a complete music dag.
I'm like that too. Like, I actually love classical piano, but I also love like old school Nelly and old school Usher.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like an eclectic range of music. Okay. Favorite snack when you're on the road?
I sometimes forget to eat when I'm on the road and when I'm getting stuff done, but I always have a stash of lollies in my car. Just for the sugar hit.
Are you like a sweet lolly or a sour lolly?
Not sour. Not sweet sour. Lolly. Like a chupa chup. Love a chupa chup. Yeah. I'm not a coffee drinker. So
that's why you need lollies. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
I always travel everywhere with a large bottle of water and always have lollies in my bag. But I do have to sometimes remember to stop and eat a banana.
Oh, that's so me. I like did so much running this morning and my body's like, if you're gonna run that far, can you please give us some food? I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah. I need to go eat a banana or something.
Yeah.
Hey, before you go, I'd so love to give you some encouragement as we're sitting here talking and just as I've watched you interact with artists. The picture that I have for you is this big sand pit, and there's artists in the sand pit, and they're trying to find the thing that they need. They're trying to find the treasure. They're digging furiously, and I just see you as this like beautiful guide on the side, just sitting quietly, gently on the edge of the sand pit. And when you see an artist struggling, just giving them a tool, like, oh, here, why don't you try this rake? Oh, you over there, why don't you try this tool? I see you just being a really gentle spirit, taking the time to see artists, like really see who they are, and at the right opportune moment, not digging for them, just giving them the right tool so they can dig for themselves and discover for themselves whatever it is that's next for them. I see you do an amazing job for artists. I know you spend a lot of your own time and money encouraging and supporting artists. And I think we're really lucky to have you in the art world here in Sydney. And thank you so much for being generous with your time and coming on the show. It's been so nice to chat.
Thank you. It's been lovely to chat. I have to make comment on that very idealized view of me sitting calmly on the side watching playing the trumpet, because I definitely know a few artists that would say that there's no way Laura's sitting calmly on the side and just watching it all unfold. I'm probably throwing sand and creating a bit of a mess with the best of intentions, of course, but also getting into the sand pit and getting my hands dirty is important. So not always calm, sometimes incredibly infuriatingly manic, but always passionate.
And always equipping artists. I see you do that.
Hopefully. That's for sure. That's what I aim to do.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been lovely talking to you and getting to chat about what I do or what I think I do or what my job is, which I'm still working out. So thank you.
You are so welcome.
The best way forward is one step at a time. And by listening today, you just took one more step in the direction of your dreams. If you're looking for more, head on over to MoniqueStory.com. That's story with an E-Y. There you can get your hands on today's show notes and heaps of other free resources. Until next time, go and find your possible.